Welcome to everyone joining us live for today's teen Bible study. I'd like to welcome those in live stream land. And indeed, what we're going to talk about today is something that I believe is very much a question on the teens' minds, but also, I'm sure not just the teens will have this question. I'm sure a lot of people, adults, and everyone tuning in would also be interested in actually learning about what we're going to talk about today. So again, if you're joining us and you're not a teen, you're welcome. And indeed, you are going to enjoy this Bible study as well. I'd like to start by actually reading a study that I think is very telling about what we're going to talk about today. And it's a study, a 2017 study, published by the American Psychology Association. The study found that 63% of participants reported experiencing boredom at least once across a 10-day sampling period. So did a 10-day sampling period, and they found that about that number of respondents, 63%, said that they were experiencing feelings of boredom. We find that boredom, continue the read here about the study, we find that boredom is more likely to co-occur with negative rather than positive emotions. So when feelings of boredom was expressed, it was more likely to be expressed from someone who was also experiencing negative emotions. And it continues, and is particularly predictive of loneliness, anger, sadness, and worry. So these particular negative emotions resulted from feelings of boredom, loneliness, anger, sadness, and worry. You can call that anxiety. So the study did show that boredom is a common experience, more than half of the respondents. And most people who felt bored felt these negative emotions. How do you respond to boredom? How do you respond when you experience feelings of boredom? What do you do? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Maybe it's food. Nothing to do. I'm going to look for some, call it a comfort food, something I like, and time will pass away and I'll be fine. Maybe you just seek attention. You want everyone to know. I'm bored. Maybe you do something. Maybe you read a book so that time will pass. Or maybe you do nothing. You just wait it out. Wait for time to go by. Well, what should we do to overcome and defeat boredom? What should we do to overcome and defeat boredom? Today we're going to look at what God's word says about staying on the winning side and defeating boredom. We're going to look at that today. We're going to study what does God's word say we should do to make sure that we defeat boredom. But first of all, we can ask, what is boredom? What is, but we hear the term a lot. We often would say, I'm bored. What is boredom? Well, boredom happens when we actually struggle to fill time that we have with something that is exciting or fulfills us. So it's basically a feeling of, I don't know what to do with this time that I have. What do I do so that I can enjoy this period of time that I have? And probably maybe something happened, an event got canceled, and you realize now you have all this time on your hands. You're supposed to either go out with your friends, and for some reason they canceled on you. Now you have time, and you never planned to fill that time, and now you're bored. What do you do with that time? Well, it's actually a habit. Boredom is actually a habit. What do I mean? Well, we'll look at the definition here. Well, the Britannica Dictionary says a habit is a usual way of behaving, something that a person does often in a regular and repeated way. So that's what a habit is. So boredom is the result of our response to not finding fulfillment and excitement from an activity or task. So it's the way we respond to when we actually cannot fill time with something fulfilling. And when it becomes a pattern that we do repeatedly, it's a habit that we're expressing each time that we can't fill time with something fun or exciting. Does that mean it's our fault that we cannot do that? Well, we'll find out by the end of the study. But yes, it is a habit, which means that it is something that can be overcome. That's the main point there. We can overcome boredom because it is a habit. It is a way of actually behaving when we find ourselves in a certain situation. In the study, you saw that people basically felt bored due to certain negative emotions. They were feeling certain ways, and they just responded that way to those emotions, and it left them bored. When we cannot stimulate ourselves, definitely we get to a point where we become bored. I remember going home. I stayed in the urban city with my family when they moved out there for work, and occasionally on the holidays we would go to the village. And one of the best pastimes I always used to look forward to was actually going out with my friends, and we'd go around the city until night. But one other thing that was often done when went to the village was going to the farm. And the first time I remember having the opportunity to do that, I was excited. I'm actually going to go to the farm. I'm going to see all kinds of things, from all the things that were in the wild, look at how they actually do the planting and all of that. And I was excited. We got to the farm early in the morning. 1 hour passed. I held on, enjoyed everything that was going on. We got there, started a fire, put on some food, because that's the first thing they would do. And I enjoyed that because I partook in that. And then after that, they actually started the work. And at that point, I was no longer interested. And 2 hours passed, like I said, another hour passed, and I was bored. There was nothing to do. There was nowhere to go because I was probably 2 miles from home at that point, and I didn't know even the way to go back home. So I had to actually stay the course of the period that they were there, and that was the whole day. So now I'm caught in this situation where I have nothing to do, and of course they would not force me to actually farm, but I realized I could actually just partake in any way that I can to actually learn how they did the planting and what they did afterwards, whether it was actually going to the river to get water during the break times to feed those that were there farming on the farm. And I engaged myself that way. And as time passed, I realized I was actually useful. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the whole process. But that took time for me to actually sit back, allow myself to see what other way I could be helpful and engage in the activities that were happening, and to actually realize I could enjoy helping and serving in different ways. So again, just the passing of time was able to allow me to be creative, to engage and enjoy that moment. Again, putting forward the habit, which is how we react to boredom, can actually be overcome. So again, that is a process where we can begin to look at tonight as we talk more about boredom. This is a habit that we all can overcome. That should be at the back of our minds as we begin to look at the topic today. So again, you look at people who express boredom and go through these things. In the world today, we have a situation where most people actually engage in extreme activities to overcome boredom. How many have heard about binge drinking? I'm sure all of us will raise our hands. What about those that engage in, I think one of the most recent things I've had is what do you call it, slap contests? I see hands going up hesitantly. But you see all kinds of extreme things that are done in the name of actually filling time and really entertainment. And these are all extremes. And people do that because they want to actually fill up their time. Entertainment is out there in the world today, and this is something that people watch. What about extreme fashion? What about going into drugs? Trying to push all kinds of highs, again, to overcome their boredom. That's what you see in the world today. Again, from the study, loneliness, anger, depression. People want to overcome that. And sometimes they turn to these extremes. Why? Because they want to be unique. They want to actually be different. They want to impress. And they go to that distance. People go that distance with this kind of lifestyle because they want to feel good and they want to be accepted by people around them. But certainly there's a better way. That's not what we do. And that's not the way we're supposed to react or respond to the feelings of boredom. But I'll ask this question, and maybe something we've not thought about before. Does God get bored? It's a fascinating question, one to contemplate. And the answer is inspiring. Think about it. God is sitting down, and does he get bored and say, okay, let's see what we can do today in this part of the world? Or was God sitting down bored and he said, let's create the earth? All right, Jesus, let's go create the earth. Or does God sit down and he says, oh, who is there praying? Oh, Mr. Jesse, oh no. What's he going to say now? Is he bored by our prayers? Of course he's not. Boredom is an absence of fulfillment and satisfaction in things and activities which are within the confines of time. That is why we can get bored when we're wearing the same clothes all through the year. That's why we can get bored with watching or being at a football or basketball game. That's why we can get bored with certain colors or decorations. Because time passes. Because we're limited by time. We can get bored with daily tasks or with certain job routines that we have. We can get bored with driving the same car over time. We can get bored with certain movies or just going back to certain restaurants, our favorite restaurants, and at some point we just get bored of going back there. We just don't find fulfillment in going back to those places or enjoying the same things we once enjoyed. These expressions and desires are all because we are limited by time as humans. So with time passing, we definitely find certain things we once enjoyed boring. But God is different. God is not limited by time. God's joy and pleasure and satisfactions are infinite. Let's turn to Psalm 16. Let's begin to look at the nature of God. His infinite nature and what we can learn. Psalms chapter 16. I will read verse 8. Psalm 16 and verse 8. I've set the Lord always before me. King Solomon writing here. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. my flesh also shall rest in hope. And in verse 11, you will show me the path of life, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forever. The Bible confirms God is not limited by time. King Solomon confirmed he wasn't limited by time, because forevermore, as long as he lived, he would have God teaching, directing him, and God was outside the confines of time, unlike we humans. And that is why we have to get to a point where we overcome how we respond to moments where we feel bored, or we're engaged in activities that we sometimes find, maybe we're no longer finding them as interesting as they once were. One of God's many names is Jehovah Jireh, which means he is the provider. And it plays a lot into his infinite nature, the fact that he's outside of time. The Bible confirms he is not limited. And when you look at what he has done, he created the earth, he created the moon, the star, he actually created the time space that we're in. So again, is God bored? God is not, because he's constantly excited about his creation and providing for his creation, and he loves his creation. And Christ confirmed this. Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and we'll read verse 10. Christ confirmed that God wants us to actually enjoy the life that he's given us, and to really find a core thing that God himself is towards mankind. John 10 and verse 10. John 10 reads, and verse 10, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, Christ, have come, sent from God, that they, God's people, might have life, but that they might have it more abundantly. God wants us to have the abundant life. That was his goal right from the beginning. That was the goal of his creation. That was the goal of him giving us the time, space, and actually putting all of creation in there and giving us access to that life. We're not supposed to be anxious, scared, and worried, and allow boredom to overcome us, where we actually exhibit the habit of living in it. God made us to overcome boredom. God made us to overcome boredom. He wants us to live the abundant life. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 8 and begin to look at this. God wants us to enjoy the abundant life. Ecclesiastes 8. This will start to become clear when we begin to look at what we are all being given, what we have all been given, what we can all partake in actually enjoying God's creation and the abundant life that he has made available to all of us. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 15. Then I commended mirth, and the word there is merriment. Mirth means merriment, because a man has no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God gives him under the sun. So this is God's gift, his creation, the abundant life. That's what he wants us to actually enjoy. That is what he wants you and I, the habit that he wants us to have. Go out there and enjoy his creation. Enjoy the abundant life. How does that tie to our feelings? The habit that we may exhibit when we actually faced with moments of boredom, it helps us to actually rely on God and break out of our fears and live the abundant life. And we're going to again see that as we continue here to read. Defeating boredom means we must follow God's prescription of living His way of life. We must enjoy creation. I used to do photography. And sometimes I'll just go out and do a photography vacation. I loved nature. So I would do landscape photography. And you'd learn a lot and enjoy that. But basically, I was never bored at any point in time, because I would be able to apply any time I had, whether it was downtime or anything like that, to go out and see creation and what God had made. And for me, it was photography. And it was engaging because it was a passion and an interest that I had. Some would say they go out and explore the providence of God. Nature, what God has put in nature for our own survival. Again, for that abundant life that He wants us all to have. There is enough that God has put in His creation that we can never, ever have the habit or exhibit the habit of boredom. There is always enough to do. And we're going to look at a couple of ways where we can actually engage that and make sure that we stay connected to what God has given us, living the abundant life, and making sure that we do not allow the habit of boredom to actually grow in us. Now, certainly the abundant life is not limited to adults. He also says He wants the young people to have an abundant life. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. God also wants the young to enjoy the abundant life. And He's specific in what He instructs them to do and how they should do it. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. I'm sorry, chapter 11. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Youth is a good thing. We have strength, ability. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Talking about your interests and your choices, which come from the heart. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth, and walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know you that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. God will want you to know how you applied and used your youthful energy. How did you apply and use your youthful energy? God will want to know that. But He wants us to do that. He wants us to enjoy that. By saying that, God will also want to know how we used it. It's important to God. Verse 10, therefore remove sorrow, because God wants to know how we use our time. He wants us to remove anxiety. That's what that word means. Remove any form of anxiety. You're supposed to live the abundant life. So remove any form of worry, of concern, because I have created the earth and I've given it to you to live abundantly. Don't have any fears. So remove sorrow from your heart, from all your interests and choices. Don't be anxious. And put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. There is nothing to be proud about in our youthful looks or physical strength, he is saying, because they are all going to pass away. What matters to God and what matters or should matter to us is the interest and the choices that we make to pursue that joy that God wants us to have, that merriment that He wants us to have. That's what's important. Because the youth doesn't matter, it's going to pass. But what matters is how we use it. All the choices we make, the interests that we explore in this vast world that God has created, and instructed us to have the abundant life. How are we going to engage it? What are we going to do with it? When you're 40 years old or 60 years old, what would you look back and mention, this is what I enjoyed when I was a youth? I was never bored. I had fun. I engaged and explored nature. I listened to my parents and they directed me in the ways that I was to go. And I did it. And I have a good record. And God will ask, and you present that record proudly because you followed this instruction. God says things should find excitement. They should find excitement using their youth, their physical abilities and strength. And that is exactly what I did when I was young. That is what you're doing in your youth. You have the strength to travel. You have the strength to do probably a couple of jobs, for those that are old enough to do a job. And you're active. You participate. You serve. You help out at home. You're engaged. In your youth, you have the energy to do that. And God says, use that in every way that you can, wherever you have the opportunity, because you should live the abundant life and have fun. That's what he wants us to do. And that's exactly what the instruction is. But, like he says in verse 10, the fun and the excitement should meet these two standards. Remove sorrow, and that word again, I'll repeat, means anxiety. Any form of feelings of boredom. We saw from the study, it says what? Those that express the feelings of boredom were also driven by negative emotions of worry, anxiety. Remove that, God says in verse 10. Don't worry about needing to deal with boredom. Come out of your comfort zone and engage the life that is in front of you, the possibilities that are in front of you. And the second thing, put away evil. So your interests and what you choose to do when you get bored matters. It matters. I'm bored. Well, what do you choose to do? What is your decision about what you're going to open yourself up to explore the interests and do? Because the whole world has been made available for us to explore and to enjoy and to have the abundant life. You have parents, you have guardians who are willing to help you through making those choices, picking up the interests that you have and making sure that you can channel them in the right direction. So what are you going to choose? What you choose, does it promote or decline your health? So when you're bored, do you choose to just go and enjoy comfort foods and maybe eat junk food? Is that promoting or declining your health? What's the choice when you're bored and you want to actually get excited or do an interesting and exciting thing? What do you choose? Do you choose to read a book? Or do you choose to spend a lot of time on social media to pass time? So again, what you choose, are you removing sorrow? Are you putting away evil? If you do that, do you make yourself more or less knowledgeable about life? Going on social media versus reading a book. Reading about geography or places, which can be fun, by the way. Study the map of the world. Where's Africa? How many countries are in it? Where's South America? How many continents are in the world? the abundant life. You can know a lot about Africa. You can know a lot about New Zealand, South Africa. But if you spend a couple of hours on social media, well, maybe you can learn about those places digitally. But I bet you will agree with me. I don't bet, but you understand that you would agree with me. At the end of the day, you would be able to actually know more about God's creation and the abundant life when you apply yourself to actually studying and reading. So again, that's just another example. What you're doing or what you choose to do, does it build good habits or does it build bad habits? Those are the choices that are in front of us when we are actually looking at our interests and our choices. Because remember, boredom is a habit. It's something you can change. And it starts with identifying your interests and then making choices in making sure you don't allow the habit of boredom to take root, making sure you overcome the feelings of boredom when they come through. So you can get excitement, of course, from picking wrong interests. We've just talked about one. Social media is not wrong. It has its uses, and we all communicate in different ways using it. But there's a lot of content, unsolicited content, and most of the time, it's a lot of digital noise, or should I say online noise that you're getting, because everyone is throwing content on there and you're bombarded 24/7. I don't even know what is important or relevant to you. And you just consume content. So indeed, you can get excitement if you decide to explore those kind of options. But are they the best interests? And if you go that route, what are the choices that result in trying to get out of the boredom that you're trying to overcome? God says this is not the way to do it. King Solomon was the mouthpiece that we just read about, delivering God's counsel and advice, provided to young people. So what do we learn from his father, King David, in terms of what he thought about this instruction? The instruction for youth to have fun, engage with their hearts, and make sure that they put out evil and avoid anxiety. What did his father think or understand by this way? Let's go to Psalms 32. Psalms 32. King David taught his son. So definitely Solomon was expressing a lot of the wisdom he had learned from his father. And of course, King David was a wise man as well. So there's a lot to learn from his writings. Psalms 32 and verse 10. Psalms 32 and verse 10. Psalms 32 and verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright. So where? In your interests and choices. That's what it means in the heart. We just read that from Ecclesiastes 11. Shout for joy. Be joyful. Be merry because you obey God. You obey his way. You want to have the abundant life. You want to live a life where you're not afraid of any situation that makes you feel bored. you can confront boredom by making sure that you look inwards and see what your interests are. Look into your heart and say, what do I enjoy doing? Maybe you love drawing. Maybe you love painting. That is something you can immediately get into doing anytime that you feel bored. So the choice that comes out of that is, I might not have thought about what I would do in this very moment, but I know that I can look inward and say that I do enjoy doing this and that and that. I enjoy painting. In my case, I enjoy photography. And there are a couple of other things I also enjoy doing. I don't know if I'm going to share all of them, but I'll share some of them. There are a couple of things I enjoy doing. Anytime I feel a little bit bored, I engage myself and realize that I often come out feeling much better because there is a lot that you can do. There is a lot that we can engage in. It is really the abundant life that God has given us. And there is no room for us to exhibit any habit of boredom or to feel weighed down by any feeling of boredom in our lives. There is a lot that we can do. There are activities that we can all be engaged in, and there must be something, when you look inward into your heart, there must be something that you actually enjoy doing. Maybe you've never even realized it. But again, that is what King Solomon was saying. Look inward. Look into your heart. What are your interests? What would you choose to do if you were confronted with a boring situation? Would you just sit down and just let time pass? Is that what you do? Or would you actually look inward and find that there are probably skills and talents and things you've just never tapped into, and never mind the world out there. And there's just a lot that you can engage in. There can never be a dull moment if we choose to do it God's way, is what he's saying. So King David understood that sorrow was to the wicked, those that don't want to learn from God. But those that want to learn from God, the righteous, would often be the ones that would stay merry, that would be joyful, that would shout for joy, that would live the abundant life, that will never be bored. They would be able to defeat boredom every time it showed up. And that is the kind of mindset we want to have as God's teens. Anytime that we're confronted with a moment of boredom or some feeling of boredom, we know that the world is before us. God has set this confine of space called the world, the earth, and he wants us to explore it and enjoy it. I'm sure if we were to take on every element of God's creation and try to study it, it would take our lifetime and would never be able to study all of it. There will be something to study every second, every minute. It's exciting. But God is saying we have to tap in and see that God wants us to have that abundant life and actually start to work on looking at our interests and things that we like to do so that we can see the options of things that are available when we feel bored. Now, opening your mind to true joy and excitement enables us to defeat boredom, and it shows in our daily lives. And we're going to go into a couple of examples of things that we can actually do and the way we should view boredom. But before that, we're also going to look at what happens when we do not overcome boredom. That can be a very bad thing. What happens when we do not overcome boredom? If we allow boredom to fester and we allow a habit of just responding to it and allowing it to fester and not looking for how we can understand and react to it, that can actually be a very, very bad thing. because the outcomes are very bad. In addition to negative emotions, there are other things that can occur. If boredom festers and we allow negative emotions to actually run in our minds, it can lead to depression. And we do not want that. Some people have been seen to have spiraled into depression because of boredom. Out of the expression of wrong emotions, anxiety is definitely a bad one. And you can become overwhelmed by excessive worrying. Oh, I'm not being accepted by my peers. I'm bored. We hear a lot about bullying. And a lot of kids who actually are bullied because they either they don't fit in or whatever it is, and they're bored. And it sends them down the wrong path. So that is an outcome that definitely is a dangerous one, and we do not want that to happen. And God says we should not, and we can overcome boredom and not allow that to happen. He has given us that gift of abundant living, and we can make sure that we don't allow that to occur. It can promote bad habits, seeking an escape from the boredom. And we hear that a lot as well. We get friends that are bad influences. Why? Because we feel bored and sometimes feel maybe our close family and relations do not understand our feelings and the feelings of boredom, and we rely on friends. And what happens? They send us down the wrong path with the choices that we make. We build the wrong interests, not based off of God's way, and we make the wrong choices, and we veer off into wrong habits, bad habits. That is one thing that can occur if we don't allow ourselves heed to what God is saying, that He has allowed us to actually have access to abundant life, and that He wants us all to look inwards and make sure that we see we have the potential to overcome boredom, because that is the way that He has blessed us and designed us. He wants everyone to be able to have merriment, to have joy, to live the abundant life, and specifically asks the young people to make sure that they watch what they choose and watch their interests as well. It can even make it difficult to find fulfillment or sense of purpose. We do not want these definitely to happen, and that is why we stay focused on making sure that we understand that the inner potential that we have allows us to overcome and defeat boredom each time. So how should you treat the feeling of boredom when it occurs? How should you treat that feeling when you first feel bored? And is that a good day where you're getting ready for camp, and camp has been announced, and for some reason, camp gets canceled? Now you have the full summer and you didn't plan any alternative thing. You don't know what to do. How should you treat that feeling of boredom? Well, the first thing is have a positive attitude. Have a positive attitude and turn the feeling into an opportunity to learn something about yourself. Because now that is the opportunity to look inward. When you feel bored, the first question is, how can I understand why I'm having this feeling and what can I learn about myself? Why am I feeling bored? Why do I have this response to this moment? So ask, for the very first thing you do, ask, what is causing my boredom? Be determined to find a solution. And the second thing, finding and understanding the cause is a step that will help you now deal with the feeling itself that you're feeling. Because now you understand why. And we're going to go into some examples of things that we can experience when we actually say we're feeling bored, things that are actually the underlying causes of some of this. The next thing is make time to think. So the first is ask, what is causing my boredom? The second thing is make sure that you understand why you're feeling that way. And it's a good first step to actually starting to understand that feeling. Then the next thing is make time to think. Reflect on your interests and then the choices available to you in that moment. So, you're not going to go to camp. Camp is canceled. I do not have any alternative plans for summer. What am I going to do? That is the time to start to look inward. What do I love to do? What are my interests? Can I take a trip with my friends? Maybe call some friends and see if we can organize a trip. Or can we go camping? If you love the outdoors. Do you like painting? Do you like writing? Those are all things that will now take you back to begin to look at what you can actually explore and enjoy on your own. And then lastly, pass them through the two standards that we just read in Ecclesiastes 11. Overcoming sorrow and removing evil. Pass them through those two filters. Whatever your interests are that come out of that process, pass them through those filters. Are you getting out of your comfort zone by going for the hike that is now going to happen in place of going to camp? Are you getting out of your comfort zone and exploring God's creation? And if I do that, have I planned it in such a way that I make sure that there's no appearance of evil in what I'm doing, making sure that what I'm doing is pleasing before God? I'll talk to my parents, we'll organize this alternative plan for the summer, and it's something that they approve. Is it pleasing with them? Pass it through those two filters. Make sure that you're definitely stepping out of your comfort zone. You're not expressing anxiety or worry. You're definitely stepping out and thinking of something else to do. Is there anything wrong with what I'm doing, this alternative plan? No, there's not. The two items are checked, and you now know that you are going to indeed enjoy a time with friends, which allows you to step out of your comfort zone, see creation, what God has created, or it's going to allow you to do a painting project that you're going to enjoy, or something else that you've decided. But it's something that enables you to learn about yourself, see if you have maybe a skill that you never even realized you could explore in this opportunity that now has occurred. You see how it works? You now no longer see it as a period where you should be bored. It's now a period that allows you to think about alternative and be creative and even realize maybe there are hidden skills and things you love to do that you didn't know about. And just going through that process, you're not thinking, your first reaction is not, oh, I'm bored. Your first reaction is, I have to do something else, or I've got an opportunity to do something else. Psalms 119. Let's look at, God talks about the young man cleaving to his ways and doing all that he has shown him, taking advantage of the abundant life. And this process is definitely what allows us to do that. Psalms 119 and verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleave his way by taking heed thereto according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Following and trusting God's way, again as described in Ecclesiastes by King Solomon, make sure that you enjoy the world that God has given us. Go out there and enjoy the abundant life. Make sure that you look inwards. Have no fear about what you can enjoy and do. Make choices about the alternative things that you can learn and the things that you've learned about yourself that can really bring excitement and make life interesting. Explore that. That is trusting God to guide every step of the way that we are on, because we know that we have a God that wants us to enjoy the abundant life. He wants us to live that kind of life. Again, everything is coming back to everyone that has been given the abundant life, this way of life, exploring it, making sure they did not hold back in actually enjoying it. And that includes teens, young people. Most of the time, I'm bored. It's coming out of a feeling of wanting either direction, or sometimes really not knowing what to do, or sometimes, again, not just thinking about any alternate skill and things they can explore. But God says, don't worry about that. Every time you find yourself feeling bored, it might be a task you've been given and it's just not exciting. It might be maybe an event that got canceled and now you're home. It might just be something else that you didn't see and now has occurred, and you have nothing else to do and you're bored. God says at that point is when you can realize the many, many things that you can actually do. So look inwards and think about the interests, the things that interest you, and find out what you can really enjoy in that moment. There are times that I sit down and I think I've enjoyed brewing, and I had an interest in healthy drinks, and I decided at one such opportune time when I was bored that I wanted to read up and start brewing kombucha. And today I do that in my spare time. If I feel bored, bring out the containers, start the mix, put in some tea, boil it, and before you know it, time passes, but it's fun because I enjoy doing that, because I have the interest in wanting to actually learn about healthy drinks. And doing that, I find fulfillment in that. And that is a good thing. That is the way God wants us to think. Here are some of the causes of boredom that we may experience or maybe have experienced in the past. And using that same application of first asking what is causing the boredom, understanding what that feeling is that we're feeling at that moment, making the time to think about it, and of course, going through the process of making sure that we are not feeding our anxieties or stepping into something that is evil, would always be able to overcome these causes. The first one I'll mention here is the task or activity is not challenging or is mentally not stimulating. Sometimes that is what can cause boredom. Maybe you'd rather be solving algebra than building Legos. Or you'd rather be doing some programming, some computer programming, than doing yard work, because you find one or the other more stimulating. You find working with algebra more stimulating than building Legos. Or it might be the reverse. But that's one thing that can occur. The first thing, again, going through that process is, why am I feeling bored? Oh, well, it's because I have an affinity to actually want to work with numbers. that's why I like algebra. Okay. But now you're doing Legos, or that's what's available. What do you want to do? Okay, I'll think about, is there something else I can do that involves numbers? And you be able to find out that you can have an alternative, or maybe there won't be one, and you'll still be able to say, but if I learn how to build Legos, it's still in a way working with numbers. And you can enjoy that process, just being able to go through that thought process of, I can see that I'm still doing something I love, working with Legos. So again, it's an example of just being able to see that you may find you're doing an activity or doing a task, or finding that there's time allocated for a certain activity that you may not find interesting. But by really looking inward and thinking it through, you might find that you enjoy doing what you once didn't even think you had the skill for, building Legos. Sometimes it's, I don't think I've had adequate rest. And when you don't have adequate rest, definitely you feel groggy and you don't want to do an activity, or you don't want to be involved with an activity. Again, take the time to apply this same process to that. Or maybe it's you have no choice. It's time to do the dishes and the laundry, and I just don't like doing that. Or it's time to help mom babysit brother or sister. I just don't want to do that. I want to go out with my friends. Maybe you have no choice. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 9. In that situation, what do? You don't have a choice. And you find sitting at home, babysitting, or doing the dishes and laundry very boring. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where we're headed. Remember we read, in your youth, make sure you apply your heart, enjoy life, and make sure that you remove sorrow and remove evil, because it's vanity, it will pass. So enjoy the moment. Yes, you might not want to babysit. Yes, you might not want to do the laundry and all that, but it's a way of making sure you apply your hand to do what is available to do, and in the process, help out and help someone. And you realize at the end of the day, you might find fulfillment in doing that. Whatever, maybe it's a mundane and a repetitive task. Maybe you stack up shelves in the grocery store. I don't like that. It's just repetitive and boring. Or you rail in the trolleys. And that's your work. And it's just boring. You don't want to do that. Romans 12. Let's go to Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 10. Romans 12 and verse 10. And it reads, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And verse 11 here is what I want to hit at. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Again, similar to Ecclesiastes 9, you're given the opportunity, you have work to do, and it might be repetitive, it might be mundane, but be fervent in spirit. Be willing to make sure that you do your work with all of your heart and your might. Do not be slothful. If you find downtime at work, look for other ways that you can go above and beyond and be helpful in other areas of the work. Maybe you're assigned a meat produce section and there's maybe not a lot of work you're done with that. Go help out with stacking. Find work to do and stay engaged and busy. All of these help us to make sure that we exercise those four steps, those five steps that we just looked at. Anytime you're confronted with a situation, and there are many times we can run into different scenarios of feeling bored. We just read a few. It might be that it's challenging. It might be that you just had inadequate rest. It might be that you have no choice, you have to do it. Maybe it's mundane and repetitive. Or maybe you're just not motivated and there's nothing to do. But at the end of the day, look at the cause. Why am I feeling bored? Understand why you have that feeling and think, reflect on your interests and things you can do to actually enjoy that moment that you have. And then lastly, make sure you pass them through those two filters, overcoming anxiety and removing evil, because that is what God wants us to do as his teens, to make sure that we're living the abundant life that he has promised. Have a good night.